Chapter 6 Sam Hugh hung up the phone after telephoning his sister a second time. Howard had grabbed the phone from her. "This is Howard, and you do not need to call us again. We'll be there as soon as we can. And don't be drunk when we get there." "The prick," Sam Hugh said, pitching the address book on the floor. He'd known Howard when they were in law school together at the U of A, but they were never friends. Sam Hugh was brilliant, and it took two tries for Howard to pass the bar exam. "Who's a prick?" Santos asked. He'd returned from horseback riding, seen all the cars around Ruyan's house, and rushed to Sam Hugh's house. He finished off a beer and lit a joint.
"Put that goddamn weed out, you goddamn fool. Don't you know the police are across the street? They'll be coming over here to ask me some more questions."
"I thought you'd already talked to them."
"The police think I did it, Santos."
"Oh, no," Santos said, sounding like he finally understood the gravity of the situation.
"Oh, yes, indeed."
Santos took the rest of his stash and placed it in a leather coin purse. He dropped it inside a Kleenex box that sat on top of the television set and proceeded to fan away the smoke with his hands.
"That's not going to do any good," Sam Hugh said. "Turn on the ceiling fan and bring me a drink."
When Santos returned from the kitchen and sat the drink of straight vodka over ice by his side, Sam Hugh was on the phone. He was crying.
"Who are you talking to, Sam Hugh?" whispered Santos.
He put the phone to his chest.
"It's one of Mom's friends from the Methodist Church."
He let out another long sob and spoke again into the phone.
"I loved my mother, you know I did. I can't believe anyone would want to kill her. She didn't keep cash, and the two renters pay on the first of the month."
Santos continued to listen as Sam Hugh declared his love for his mother. Sam Hugh loved her, Santos knew, but they fought like cats and dogs, mostly over the boys Sam Hugh took in. She said they ruined the neighborhood. But for some reason, Ruyan, she had insisted Santos call her Ruyan, seemed to like him, and she had even invited him to Thanksgiving dinner last November. In fact, it seemed that sometimes Ruyan approved of her son helping the wayward souls, as she called them. Just as Sam Hugh predicted, Don Taylor of the Arkansas State Police knocked on the front door. Santos let him in before he left to sit outside on the front steps. Through the screen door, he could hear the men talking.
"When did you last see your mother alive?"
"It must have been about 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. She stopped by after her walk with Marie Thompson."
"Who's Marie Thompson?"
"Her friend who lives in the neighborhood."
"Okay, you happen to know her address?"
"I think it's 313 or maybe 315 Fayetteville Street."
"Okay, we'll talk to her."
"I told my mother I saw Rusty and Linda Myers at the grocery store and they had invited me for supper. I was getting ready to leave when she came by."
"And how long did you stay at your friend's house?"
"I got home around 7 o'clock, early because I wanted to watch Holy Moses on cable. I called my mother and she said she was going to watch PTL.
"That religious station?"
"Yeah, she watches it all the time. Watched it all the time, I guess I should say."
"Was that the last time you talked to her?"
"No, I called her after the movie, and she told me she was getting ready for bed. We said goodnight, and that was around 10 or 10:30.
"Were you alone when you watched the movie?"
"Some friends dropped by, but they didn't like the movie, so they left."
"I'll need to get their names from you, but that can wait. And you heard nothing suspicious last night. Did you see a strange car?"
"No, just like I already told the sheriff. I saw absolutely nothing out of the ordinary last night. Mother keeps her house locked at all times."
"Who has keys?"
"Me, her, and my sister Linda."
"Where does Linda live?"
"Cabot, not far from Little Rock. She and her husband are on the way up here now."
"I know where Cabot is, Sam Hugh."
Santos watched as Ruyan Park's body was loaded into a black Suburban. Sam Hugh had told him earlier they were sending her body to Little Rock.
He was glad Sam Hugh was inside and hadn't seen what he'd just seen. It made him sick with fear to think there was someone around who would kill a little lady like Ruyan. From outside, he heard a chair scrape across the hardwood floor, and Taylor soon opened the door onto the porch. Santos stood up. "Your name? You live here?"
"Off and on,"
Santos replied after he'd told the officer his name.
"I do landscaping for Sam Hugh and anything else he needs done."
He didn't like this man. He especially didn't like the sneer on his face. "Santos, were you here last night?"
"For a little while, around 5:30 or so, but I left to pick up Jackie. I brought her back here and we watched a movie with Sam Hugh, but we didn't like it, so we left. But we came back because I realized I didn't have any money, so I asked Sam Hugh for $5, but he gave me 10. Then me and Jackie left and went to her house. I came home about 5 on Sunday morning and crashed on the divan. I got up around noon, I guess."
Detective Taylor turned the page on his notebook and asked, "Anyone else at Sam Hugh's?"
"Gary was in and out on Saturday."
"Who's Gary and who's this Jackie? Do they live here with Sam Hugh, too?"
"Gary Shoup does sometimes, not Jackie."
"This Jackie is a guy or girl?"
"Girl."
"Why is she hanging around with a bunch of queers?"
Santos looked across the street at all the cops milling around. He could feel the sweat making a circle under his arms.
"We're all just friends," Santos said.
Taylor laughed and closed his notebook and stuck it in his front pocket. "Sure you are. And Mr. Sam Hugh Park doles out the money for sexual favors. Am I correct? No need to answer."
Santos watched Taylor trot down the steps like he had someplace real important to be. He turned around and pointed a finger at Santos.
"Don't go anywhere. We'll want to talk some more with you, and your friends as well. But the next time we talk, it'll be at the sheriff's office."
Taylor walked across the street, climbed over the yellow tape that blocked the driveway, and disappeared into what Sam Hugh had always called the Winter Palace. He'd asked him why he called it that, but Santos didn't really understand the reason.
"Read the book Shadow Over the Winter Palace," Sam Hugh explained. "It's about the Russian Tsar Nicholas II and his crazy wife."
Of course, Santos never read the book, not being a history buff like Sam Hugh was. Santos walked back into the house where Sam Hugh sat in a brown corduroy recliner that his mother said should be given to the rescue mission under the bridge.
"They think I did it, Santos."
Sam Hugh was clearly on his way to being falling down drunk, and Santos felt sorry for him.
"The goddamn cops think I killed my own mother."
"Nah, Sam Hugh. That Taylor fucker thinks I did it, or Gary, maybe."
Sam Hugh began wailing. Wailing like Santos had seen Comanche women do in cowboy movies when their husbands were killed. He pounded his fist against the chair arm.
"They would like nothing else than to get me off this hill, but I won't give them the chance. I'll leave. They can't arrest me. I didn't kill my mother."
Sam Hugh Park continued to drink. But now, from the gallon bottle of Ancient Age delivered earlier by his personal delivery man, Bill Spradley. Spradley lived off Highway 64 between Van Buren and Alma and owned a liquor store in Fort Smith on Midland Boulevard. Crawford County was dry, all right, and liquor stores were closed on Sunday in Fort Smith. But if you knew who to call, nearly everything you desired, legal or not, could be delivered to your front door